Hi, I'm Robin.
And I'm Chris. Together we're the Gen X couple.
Hey guys.
Hello everyone.
We are so glad you're here. With Veterans Day coming up next Monday, we thought it would be impactful for Chris, who you may remember is an Air Force veteran, to share a little bit about his military journey with you all.
As you know, I'm the oldest of seven kids, and after some thought, I decided that since I wasn't ready to start college yet, that the military was a good chance for me to be off on my own and maybe do some traveling. I ended up choosing the Air Force, mostly because they were having me leave the soonest, which was right after graduated high school. Wow. I went to San Antonio, Texas for my basic training, and nothing of note happened there except for that's where I was signed my military career. I enlisted in the military under the category Open General, which means I didn't care what job they gave me. So during my basic training, I gave them a list of 20 jobs. My top three choices were physical therapist, X-ray technician, and paralegal.
That's a wide variety of jobs.
Yeah, and they ended up giving me my seventh choice, which was firefighter.
Okay.
So after I finished basic training, I stayed in Texas for the next 4 months to attend a firefighter academy in San Angelo, Texas. Back then, I was in really good physical shape, so I breezed through the school except for two areas. The first was knot tying, and the other one was having to be in confined spaces. That one gave me the most difficulty.
I would think that probably gives a lot of people anxiety to be in a tight space like that. But to hijack your story, I wanted to ask you real quick about the knot tying. When I think of knot tying, I think of sailors and stuff like that. But as a firefighter, what did you have to use knots for?
That's a good question. We actually did use some of the sailor's knots, like a bowline or a square knot.
Okay.
But we used those knots to rappel off of buildings.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Or to bring equipment up on top of a roof.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay.
Carry on.
So about halfway through that schooling, we were asked to make a list of the top 10 bases we would like to be stationed at. Well, I didn't care where they sent me, mostly because I wanted to get out of the country. All 10 of my choices were out of the United States.
Understandable.
When I finally did graduate, I found out instead of sending me to Germany or England, which I hoped, they were sent me to Missouri.
Womp womp.
Yes. And I spent the next 6 years there learning how to two-step to country music and tried hunting and fishing for the first time.
I didn't realize it was so country in Missouri. I don't know. When I think of Missouri, I kind of think that they're similar to us in New England, but that all sounds like the South.
Yeah, I was close to the Ozarks, so they considered us the South.
Okay, that makes sense.
So in Missouri, I also saw my first fire, my first vehicle accident, and my first plane crash as a firefighter.
Yikes.
During those 6 years, we completed lots and lots of training. We had to be prepared.
That's good.
Some of the hardest training that I completed was high-rise building rescue. This was rappelling off the top of a building, and I hate heights. I'm sweating just talking and remembering about it.
Yeah, you're definitely not alone. A lot of people dislike being up high.
But my all-time favorite training was playing Jenga. Yes, the wooden block game. But in the fire department, we play it differently. The wooden blocks are over 3 feet, and we use the jaws of life to move the blocks.
Mm.
It was a fun to split into teams and learn how to work the jaws in intricate scenarios.
Did you mean to say intricate?
Yes.
I love you. That's actually a really great idea, using the jaws of life to play Jenga with. I always kind of wondered, as I guess a civilian or like a non-firefighter person, I had no idea how you would even train on the jaws of life. So that was actually interesting to know that that's how you do it.
Yeah, and we always had a competition out of it when we split into teams, and the losing team had to cook dinner.
Oh, okay. So that makes me want to ask you another question. I'm sorry to keep hijacking your story. So like, you know, when you watch TV and movies about, you know, like firefighters that take place in fire stations, the first one that popped into my head was Rescue Me, the one with Dennis Leary from, like, I don't know, the early 2000s. They always showed that the fire station has a chef, like one of the firefighters would always just take over the cooking. Is that accurate, or is it more like a potluck sort of thing, or did you order pizza, or how does that all work?
It would all scenarios, but we usually have a couple of people who like cooking, and to help encourage them to cook, we would let them not do bathroom duty.
Oh, wait, so like cleaning the bathrooms?
Yep, so we had to clean the bathrooms, mow the lawn, clean the front offices, vacuum, all that normal stuff you would do in your home, we had to do in our home.
Okay, that makes sense. I don't know why in my head, I guess I always just pictured it like an office building, you know, like how they have a cleaning crew that comes in at night and they do all the housekeeping. I guess I just thought all the base buildings had a crew like that. Like I thought that would have been one of the jobs in the military, but I didn't know you guys had to do that stuff yourself.
And we did, and it was usually the newest person.
Okay, that makes sense. I've heard some of those stories before. Okay.
So the biggest fire training we had was when we dumped hundreds of gallons of jet fuel into a pit and lit it on fire. And then we used the fire trucks to put it out. The heat was intense.
Yeah, that sounds scary and kind of cool.
It was. But after 6 years in Missouri, I finally got my wish, and I got transferred to a base in Panama. It was perfect, and my life would probably be different if they didn't end up closing that base a few years after I got there, because I would probably still be there. I can see myself retired, sipping a beer on the beach. The weather there is 80 degrees year-round. You can go to the Pacific Ocean in the morning and the Atlantic Ocean at night.
Yeah, but then we never would have met.
And I never would have had Marsh.
Ay, ay, ay. So you said that the base closed. So what happened after the base in Panama closed?
So after that base closed, I was sent to South Dakota, where I quickly realized that the winter there lasts for 11 months and the summer is only July 4th weekend. But I made the best of it and got to see the Black Hills, Mount Rushmore, and the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally.
That must have been interesting. I know I've seen it like on TV and documentaries and stuff. What kind of stuff did you see there? Other than the stuff I think we all know goes on there.
All the motorcycles. But I also got to go to a WWF back then, now WWE, wrestling event. And it was cool.
That must have been cool. That was what, the 90s?
It was, back in the 90s.
So you must have seen, like, The Undertaker and maybe Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm trying to think of, like, who was wrestling back then. The Rock? Was The Rock there?
Well, back then, I had to get the cheap seats. And it was hard to see, but they were there.
Oh, I guess I didn't even realize that people had to pay for those events. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I guess I just thought, like, it was free. I don't know how these rallies work, but I don't know. I remember like a few years ago, they had a Smash Mouth concert. And I actually think the lead singer of that band, and I don't know his name, I'm sorry, but I think he passed away. But I think they had a big concert. And I don't know why. I just assumed all that stuff was just kind of free. But it sounds like it's not.
No.
Oh. Well, that's interesting, though. That must have been really cool. Like, especially, we're not motorcycle riding people. So that must have been kind of cool as someone who doesn't normally, who isn't normally active in that community to, you know, see kind of what the other side is like.
It is. And it's something to hear all the motorcycles driving around in like big, big groups.
Oh my God. I bet that's so loud. Like here in New England, we've got a pretty big bike week in Laconia, New Hampshire. And obviously that's way smaller than Sturgis, but it's pretty loud even with the amount of motorcycles that's up there.
It was.
Yeah, that's cool, though. That's cool that you got to do that.
So I finished up my military career. I did my full 20 years and retired. I served my last 8 years in Massachusetts in the reserves. And while I was still on active duty, my most notable TDY, which stands for temporary duty, that I served was right after September 11th. I was sent to the desert of Oman. Hmm. I had little over a week after it happened, I was over there. And I remember the flight. It was 26 hours long with bench seating for the entire flight. It was a good thing I was in my 20s because my back now would only last an hour in those seats.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine sitting in those seats for over a day. My God. We wouldn't be able to walk. Our backs would be so stiff.
I know.
Oh my God.
But before I tell you about my experience in the desert, I wanted to mention that my early years in the Air Force weren't as strenuous as my brothers in the Army or the Marines. Our physical training tests were done on a stationary bike. I never had to sleep in a tent, and I ate probably one or two MREs, which stands for meals ready to eat, in my first 7 years in the military. All four of my brothers also served in the military, and one of my sisters, and those are the things they had to do as part of their time in the military.
Can I interrupt you again? I'm so sorry to keep hijacking your
story. Go ahead.
You talked about MREs, and I know I've heard of them. I am very curious about what's in a meal ready to eat. When you say meal ready to eat, you know what popped into my mind? Back in like the 80s, did your mom ever feed you those Swanson frozen TV dinners? I don't know if you guys ever ate those, but my mom used to make them for us like on Sunday nights before we'd watch the World of Disney. And they were like a delicacy back in the day. But now, like, I don't even know. They would come with like the turkey dinner one would come with like slimy turkey and it'd have like that cranberry sauce. It was like crusty and gooey at the same time. And then the brownie that would always get overcooked and like cement, you couldn't even eat it. So that's what popped into my mind when you said MRE. Can you just tell me a little bit about what's actually in an MRE?
Think of dehydrated food. You're just going to add water, mix it all together like in a stew. But also, they also had a piece of candy and a little jar of Tabasco sauce to save the flavor.
So, like, was there meat? Like, what was the entree of an MRE, typically?
It would be,
I assume,
like,
there's a variety.
Like a mac and cheese or a chili stew.
Oh, God. Like rehydrated chili?
Yes.
That sounds repulsive. I get why they have to do it that way, but my God, that's so disgusting. We should see if we can... Do you think one of your brothers eats MREs?
Yeah, I think I can get one of my brothers who's still in the military to send me some pictures of him, his MRE, so we can post it.
Yeah, you have what? Two brothers still active, and then your best friend, Ken, is still...
That's correct.
Although he's pretty high up. He probably doesn't eat MREs. What's his rank?
He's a colonel, so...
Yeah, so he's not eating MREs.
People to feed him.
Well, maybe if we can get a picture at some point of an MRE, I could probably Google it too, but I'd rather, you know, share one that, like a real one. If you hear that noise in the background, that's our dryer going off saying that it's ready. Sorry. Okay, I keep hijacking your story. Go ahead.
So when I landed in the Middle East, they dropped us off in the middle of the desert. It was a rude awakening to my previous lifestyle.
I can't even imagine.
We were the first troops over there. So when I say we dropped off in the middle of the desert, we were dropped off in the middle of the desert with nothing there. Wow. When I landed, I literally had to set my tent up to sleep in. And for the next 60 days, we ate MREs three times a day.
Oh, God. And rehydrated chili.
And the rehydrated chili. And the no showers. It was rough.
Oh, my God. Wait, no showers?
None. It was tough.
Oh, my God. You guys must have smelled rank.
It was.
So, when did you guys finally get a chow hall?
It was after about 3 months we got a chow hall.
Okay. And then, so you ate MREs. And do MREs come with a drink?
They did. It came with water. And it was water for the first few months. And I used the term loosely when we finally got something else because it became goat's milk, warm goat's milk.
Oh my God, that's so gross.
And if you know me in real life, you know that I sleep with a bed full of pillows. More on that later in a later podcast.
Can confirm.
But over there, I was allowed to have one pillow and I slept on a cot. And it was some weeks before I got a hot shower.
Yeah, that must have been really rough. I can't even imagine. So let me ask you this. What did you guys do in your free time while you were over there? Because, or actually, how long did it take to get the whole base camp set up? And then what did you guys do in your free time?
It was like a couple months before we got more tents, more people in. And then my free time was mostly spent reading, finding books to trade with people. Okay. And after a couple months, we got a TV and some music. And then during the last month, we got a gym. Oh. And I did have additional duties other than my full-time job as a firefighter. I had to help build tents, perform security duty, and when I got sick and tired of building tents, I would volunteer to work in the kitchen. Okay. Also, part of the USO tour, I did get to see Drew Carey, Wayne Newton, and the cast of Band of Brothers, which is a very, very cool show. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it.
Yeah, it is a really great series, and typically I don't like that sort of show, no offense. It's just not my thing. But my first love, Donnie Wahlberg, was in that show, so obviously I watched it. It was a really great show. I'm glad I watched it, and I highly recommend it. I wanted to actually hijack your story again. I'm so sorry. I wanted to ask you a couple of things. First, you said you saw the USO tour, which must have been super cool. How long had you been over in the desert before the USO tour came over there?
It was towards the last few weeks of my deployment.
Okay. So I also wanted to ask you about fires, because I know you said you put out a couple of fires while you were over there, and obviously your job in the military was as a firefighter. What kind of fires did you see while you were over there?
I saw some tent fires, dumpster fires, a hard aircraft landing.
Okay. So then I guess my next question is, how far into the deployment did any of them take place? Like, did you have the equipment to fight the fire at the time of the fire? Or was it just like you were running to get like buckets of water or warm goat's milk?
No, our fire trucks were delivered to us within a week after we got there.
They brought entire fire trucks to the desert?
Yeah, we have these big planes called C-5.
Okay.
And those C-5 planes can fit like an 18-wheeler in them.
Oh, okay. But so you were in the desert, though. How was it driving a truck on sand? Or did you build roads?
We actually built roads with like rocks and gravel.
Oh, I'm learning so much. Okay, so I have one more question for you. You said that you were already over there about a week after September 11th happened, which was obviously a quick turnaround. How much notice did they give you from the time they told you you were going to be deployed till you were deployed?
When they told me I was leaving, it was less than 48 hours from the time I was notified until I left. And in the military, you're required to have a go bag, and that's packed with enough clothes, socks, shaving cream, deodorant, enough to survive on for 60 days.
Okay.
We would have quarterly bag checks where they would dump out our bags to make sure we had everything on the checklist. But I had generic brands in mind, so when I got the notice, I had enough time to go to Walmart and get all my regular deodorant and shampoo and etc.
Okay.
And then a few other things that I kept in my go bag, which were not requirements, was juice powder to mix with water.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Baby wipes, which was my shower.
Gross.
And then I also rotated out books, paper, pens, envelopes, stamps. Okay. But now, if I had to leave, I would make sure I had a picture of Marshmallow in there.
Not his wife or children, just Marshmallow.
And one thing I also always had in my go bag for deployments was cigarettes. I don't smoke and I have never smoked, but I grew up with a dad smoking and he tried quitting a few times over the years and I saw the urges and addiction, so I knew the strength of them. So when I first got deployed, we weren't able to receive any mail or packages for a few months. There also wasn't a store set up yet, so I knew my cigarettes were going to be gold to some of my fellow airmen. I had people doing my laundry for a month for three cigarettes. Someone made my bed every morning for a cigarette a week.
Wow. I can't even imagine how desperate they were to do laundry for an entire month just for three cigarettes. Like, that's crazy to me, but I get it because I know my mom smoked when I was growing up, so I also know how powerful they are. So let me ask you this. How long were you over in the desert in total?
So I was roughly over there 6 months.
Okay.
And I remember coming home and taking that first sip of Pepsi and their first bite of a juicy burger. You miss the simple pleasures in life when you do away with them for so long.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Now, I also like to thank my fellow family members who have served and anyone in the audience who has served. Robin's father was in the Air Force. My dad was in the Army. And like I said, I have four brothers and a sister who served. Plus, my oldest son is served in the Army also.
Yes, we definitely want to thank everyone who has served, is serving, will be serving. I know we mentioned his best friend, Ken. His son, Kenny Jr., he's in the Army? What, the National Guard?
That's correct.
Okay, so he's still in high school. He's a baby, but he went to basic training over the summer. Now, what's he doing 1 weekend a month?
1 weekend a month until he goes to his regular technical training.
Okay, which will be after he graduates.
Yes.
Oh my God, but he's a baby. He's
he is.
A senior in high school. So young. But anyway, so yes, we want to thank everybody. And actually, I want to thank Chris too, because although I think I knew most of the stuff, we've talked about it on and off over the years, obviously. He was still in the, he was in, what's it called?
The Air Force Reserve.
Reserves, thank you. He was in the reserves when we first met, so he had already completed all the active duty time before we met. So I knew him when he was in the military, but back then he was just doing 1 weekend a month and 2 weeks a year before he retired after his 20 years. But thank you for sharing your story. There's actually a cool picture floating around of you in your uniform driving a truck. It's not a fire truck, is it?
It is.
Oh, is it? Wait, but it's not red. You didn't have red fire trucks?
We had red, we had yellow, okay. And we had green, we had camouflage.
Okay, that's cool. I'm going to post that on our Instagram at the Gen X couple so you guys can see younger Chris. And next week, make sure you come back because we're going to be talking about parenting teenagers, which is something we've got a lot of experience on. We've got two older boys who are not teenagers anymore, although sometimes they act it. And we have one actual teenager who's 17 right now. So we have a little bit of experience with that.
And be sure to thank a veteran this Veterans Day. And until next time, see you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile.